Welcome to this fine Monday afternoon's version of Local Matters, Fascinating and Interesting People. I have a fascinating and interesting woman with me that I've known since I was in high school. Dr. Eloise Jackson, welcome to Local Matters this afternoon.
Thank you, Judy.
Eloise and I do go back to high school. We went to high school together way back in the 60s. I hate to do that to you, Eloise, but, you know,
it's a blessing.
It is a blessing, isn't it? Anyway, Eloise is, were you born and raised here?
I was, yes.
Okay. Her father, for those who have white hair like me or who are beginning to get white hair, was Pastor Jackson down at the Trinity Baptist Church. And I say down, it's here in Cookeville, but it's on the downside toward
Nashville.
West
Broad.
Yeah, West Broad. That's what I should say, is west of here. A fine church. I've been there on numerous occasions, but I remember your dad growing up. He was one fine preacher.
He was a fine man.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about that. But he was a fine preacher on top of being a fine man. And your mom was too, but for some reason, he was out more visible than your mom was, but I think you
look
like
her.
Well,
she had seven children to take care of. So
seven. Where do you fall in that group?
In the middle.
Middle? Wow. But Eloise, I said, Dr. Eloise, I should call her. I noticed you don't always introduce yourself, what little I've seen you in our older years or later years. You don't introduce yourself as Dr. Eloise Jackson. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Is that deliberate?
Well, I think you will get to know that at the point that you should know that.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. I'll accept that. Eloise went to school here in the Putnam County School Systems, as I've just said, and then you went to Tennessee Tech and got your undergraduate degree and your master's degree.
Yes, that's correct.
In what?
My undergraduate degree was in what was known as home economics at the time.
Okay.
It's now human ecology.
Oh, I knew you would know. I didn't know what they called it now. Human ecology and community used to be a real long name, but it's always home economics to me. But it's not anymore. It's
That's correct.
Different name.
Yeah, at the time, home economics covered every area that touched the home. From clothing to nutrition.
Covered a lot, I remember.
Everything.
Yeah.
Family.
Everything family oriented.
Everything related to the home.
Yep.
And now you can specialize in
clothing,
textiles
designing.
And clothing. Yes. Designing, foods and nutrition. It's changed completely, which is. That meets probably a lot of people's desire to focus
on a special topic.
But I did appreciate the total program.
Absolutely.
Because when I finished my degree, I had knowledge of every area that touches the home and family, even housing.
I can remember
design.
Charlene Mullins,
yes.
And I'm sure you do. She had a class on I don't remember exactly, but it was all about family.
Yes.
You remember
Child
that?
Child development.
Child development. Mm-hmm. That was a course that I took as an elective, I guess.
Right. And during my undergraduate degree, you could as well get a license to teach. And I did that because I thought that it was the best use of my time and money.
Okay.
To have the opportunity to teach if that's what I chose to do.
That was smart thinking.
And
back then,
I
it really was.
Got a master's degree in elementary education.
Okay. Did you teach elementary education?
The time that I taught special education resource, there were students kindergarten through grade 6.
Okay.
But I didn't teach regular education, what was called regular education at the
time.
Okay. Just, but special education.
Right. So your emphasis in the education field was special education for the children who, for whatever it might have been, they were maybe not picking up on things as fast as the, quote, normal, unquote, student would have done.
For various reasons.
Yes, various reasons.
Academic difficulty.
Yeah, for whatever it might have been. But you went even beyond that. You went to Champaign or Urbana, Illinois, to the university. I knew I'd do it wrong. The university there, and got your PhD degree.
That's true. I was teaching in Putnam County at the time. They had a grant for children who were going perceived as possibly having academic difficulty once they reached kindergarten.
Okay.
Because of their lack of opportunity for preschool education.
Okay.
And at the same time, and that was, they were taught for 2 hours a day, as I remember, twice a week. And at the same time that they were in a van designed for preschool, okay. I had 10 students, as I'm trying to remember this, from 1970.
Well, you're doing better than I would have
and
been.
And we had a van, two vans that traveled to different locations in the city. And the other van was for the parents of the children. So I was teaching the 3 and 4 year olds while Mrs. Eva Quillen was teaching the parents.
So Eva Quillen, Dean Quillen out at Tennessee yes. Tech's wife. And I had her as in high school. Did you have her? She taught English. I think it was sophomore English.
I don't remember
English.
If I had her or not, but
oh, I did.
At
she
any
taught.
Rate, she would teach the parents to get a GED or sewing skills or cooking skills, whatever they felt they needed to be taught to function in the home much better. Now, I bring that up to say that one summer, I went to a workshop at MTSU because I felt that I knew what I was doing, but I could do what I was doing so much better if I had a greater degree of knowledge. And I enjoyed the workshop so much, Mrs. Quillen said, well, why don't you talk to the person who is in charge of the workshop, who happened to be Dr. Marl Carnes from the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. So at the time, she was one of the forerunners in the field of early childhood special education. And she had fellowships and assistantships for master's degree students and doctoral students.
Wow.
So I was finishing my master's degree. I had finished, actually, in May of that year. And the workshop was June or July. I think it must have been July because she invited me up to be a doctoral student. Mm-hmm. And she would support my education through
that says a lot about you, though.
Through an assistantship and a fellowship.
Wow.
So
that's pretty special.
That all happened in July, and in August, I was at the University of Illinois enrolling while she was in Europe.
She wasn't even there to greet
exactly.
you. Exactly. Whoa.
Exactly.
Well, you had a lot of oomph or whatever to a girl from Cookeville, Tennessee, to go to Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, and didn't know a soul, or I assume
that's true.
Didn't.
I knew no one.
Well, that says a lot about you as an individual.
I just knew I wanted to do what I was doing much better than I was currently doing.
And I know you well enough to know, and from conversations we've had, that you're retired now, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, from Tennessee Tech. And from teaching at Tennessee Tech. But, you know, you will never retire, Eloise, because you
That's
have something built
because,
inside you.
We're all called for a purpose.
Yes, we are.
And the one who calls us determines our path.
Well said. I don't know what else to say. Talking to Dr. Eloise Jackson, those are very important words. Say that again so everybody can get it. That's a great quote.
We're called for a purpose.
And everybody on earth.
Yes, because the end focus is glorifying the Creator who calls us.
Yep.
And He knows our steps are ordered by God. And He knows when the quitting point is.
Oh, listen to this. Man, you could preach. You learned a lot from your daddy, didn't you? I know that you are still taking piano lessons. I know how old you are. I'm not going to say. But Joy Rasher, who has been on this program, fine piano player, vocalist, all of the above music stuff. Joy is wonderful at it. But how wonderful for you and for her to have Dr. Eloise Jackson as a piano student. When you think of taking something, time you reach our age, and we're just in our teen years now, you know, they say everything has changed, you know, that the new 70 is really just 60 or whatever all that is. So, you know, that's good. That's right. But you're still taking piano lessons.
Yes. Well, if you know anything about our Creator, nothing is without unending.
Okay, that's true.
Matter. And related to music and piano, there's always something that's the next step. And
that's true. How long have you been playing piano at Trinity Baptist Church?
Since 85.
You and there another woman, right?
Yeah,
Ernestine
Dirksen, when Pastor Dirksen came to Trinity in 1990,
okay,
his family came with him, of course,
right?
And one of his sisters is a pianist. He also had a brother that was pianist.
He's a singer too. I've heard him sing.
Yes.
As well as preach.
So she that made two of us there. Now, because I was at the very beginning of my piano lessons, you can imagine I was a neophyte. But when I came back to Cookeville, which that's an interesting story because I did not know that I was coming back to Cookeville.
Okay.
To live.
All right. Didn't have a clue, did you?
No. But the Lord knew. And
exactly.
We did not have a pianist at church at the time.
Okay.
And that was, I thought I was doing it because we didn't have a pianist, but the Lord knew that that was going to be one of the callings that He placed on my life. So when Reverend Dirksen came, when Reverend Dirksen came, as I mentioned, his family came, and Ernestine is a musician. So
wow.
She and I have been at Trinity.
Talking
since.
This afternoon with Dr. Eloise Jackson, who, as I said earlier, has retired. Yeah, right.
I retired from being employed full time.
But you still are busy as a beaver, just getting you to find the time to come to my show or to this show. Was a bit of an ordeal, but I'm so thankful you're here with us. We're going to take a break here, Eloise, and let our sponsors share with the listening audience. You folks listen, support us. Support our sponsors here, and we will be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
All right, we are back and talking with Dr. Eloise Jackson here. You were talking about, I want to hear the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey, you know, the rest of the story. You didn't make, you, Eloise, as a human being, did not know you were going to be coming back to your hometown.
That's true.
You were 5 years in Champaign-Urbana.
That's correct.
Working and getting your doctorate.
That's correct. And I then accepted a position at the Child Development Center at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
Okay.
One of the things that I had a desire to do was to learn more about how state departments operate, specifically in the realm of the Department of Education. So I took a position in Chapel Hill working with 10 states, including Tennessee, helping them to implement early childhood special education programs statewide. So
wow.
I happened to be one of the persons that helped Tennessee develop their initiative. And I'm proud that Tennessee was that interested.
Absolutely.
In statewide.
Your home state.
Early childhood special education.
Yep.
And I met the goal of learning about how state departments operate. I also worked with Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
And
that was before you got back here.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I wanted to get back. While I was at Illinois, my doctorate was in two areas, special education administration and early childhood special education personnel preparation.
Okay.
So I wanted to get back to personnel preparation. So I interviewed for a job at what was then Hampton Institute, but is now Hampton University, the undergraduate program. And Hampton Institute, let me get this straight, yes, is also a part of that name because they didn't want to drop it because of historical
emphasis. Yeah.
But I accepted a position at Hampton, which is, of course, on the peninsula of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I coordinated the early childhood special education master's degree program for 5 years and worked
well,
with...
Well, I feel like a dummy sitting here, Eloise. No. I knew a lot about your background, but I didn't know all of this. Wow. I'm proud to know you, girl.
And while I was there, I also continued work with the Chapel Hill program, which was one, it has a history also. At one time, it was the only technical assistance program in the nation.
Wow.
And because the load got so heavy with working with state departments and those who received federal grants for programs for young children with special needs, there was a sister program developed at the University of Washington in Seattle to take care of the western part of the U.S.
Mm.
After a number of years, that phased out, and it was called TADS at the time, Technical Assistance Development System at Chapel Hill.
Okay.
Once again, was the only program nationwide. And I continued to be a consultant for TADS when I left Chapel Hill going to Hampton.
Well, let's get you back here in Coogville now.
Well, that's where I'm
going.
That's
where you're headed. Okay. Oh,
I came to Tennessee Tech as the assessment person to work with Dean Ritchie and Rhonda Folio in special education because they had an outreach program mm-hmm. to develop 30 15-minute videos to air on WCTE to train people about normal growth and development and special education for a child who is developmentally delayed. So I came
to... Let me interrupt you here, because I just hold what you were doing, but I just need to know, is there a particular reason, was there a children in your family that were special needs, or how did you, obviously you have to have a love working with special needs children. How was that something God just planted in you?
Apparently, because
yes, I'd say so.
Because when I started my teaching career here in Cookeville, working with preschoolers mm-hmm. who were anticipated to possibly have academic difficulties,
okay,
I enjoyed the process of teaching and understanding how you teach.
Okay.
And so that's what took me on the path to the University of Illinois.
Okay.
And from there, we had a unique model. It was an internship model, which is different from student teaching.
Okay.
Students were getting a master's degree, 3 semesters, a full academic year in a classroom, 4 days a week, all day for the full academic year. If they were at a point where they had mastered what a site had to offer, their second semester was they were placed at a different site to master a different
approach.
See,
I've always felt like the best method of learning mm-hmm. is experience in the actual setting, in the classroom.
And that's an internship model, and that's how I was trained.
Wow.
So, going back to
okay,
how
yeah,
I got to Cookeville.
Okay. Yeah, got to fix
I was doing a needs assessment for the new program at Tech.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I was in the dean's office.
They were going to snatch you.
Talking about a position that they had that they wanted me to be one of the applicants for early childhood special education because that program was just about to build. And so I went back to Hampton and I told some friends of mine about them wanting me to apply. I said, I'm not going to. I'm enjoying what I like, what I'm doing here. I mean, why do I want to do that? And then I thought, well, my parents are senior.
Aging process
yes.
was taking over.
And mm-hmm. it would be an opportunity for me to be with them before they pass.
Yep.
And I also wanted to get more involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And serve the academic arena as well.
Well, you certainly have
so
done that.
So after I thought about it, I thought, well, I'll apply. They said they were going to pay my expenses and I'll apply.
Sure.
So the first thing I know, I was being asked among their applicants if I wanted the position, and I said yes. So that's how I got to
well,
Cookeville.
Well, thank God they saw your talents and your abilities, and they brought you back to home.
And I was encouraged by friends at Hampton to explore the possibility.
Well, I'm so glad you did. I'm glad you
too.
Moved back.
I am too.
You've been blessed immensely, I know.
Because I was at Tech for 28 years.
Yeah. You were there quite a long time. Eloise, I thank you so much for coming. I've learned
well,
a lot.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm just delighted we finally got it to fit your schedule as well as mine. And thank you again for your patience, your love of people and children. And like I said earlier, I'm very proud to know you and call you my friend. And
Same here, Judy.
Thank you, Eloise. And thank you, folks, for listening on this Monday afternoon. I hope you have a great week, and we will talk with you again next Monday at 5:30. Local matters, fascinating and interesting people. We'll see you then. Bye now.